It's week 11, the keys to victory for the 49ers to beat the Jaguars in Jacksonville Sunday. How good is Deebo Samuel? How good is Deebo Samuel over what should be expected? We're getting into over-expected stats here on Locked On 49ers. Notes on Jimmy G, the 49ers passing game. Trevor Lawrence, the Jacksonville Jaguars passing game. And some not-so-kind words. And some kind and not-so-kind words from a former Trent Baalke draft pick at the now Jacksonville Jaguars GM. Coming up on today's episode.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker bringing you the keys to victory for the Week 11 matchup. The 49ers traveling to Jacksonville to face the Jaguars. The injury report heading into the week and a number of other notes here as we get ready for this matchup. A pretty important one for the 49ers to make sure that they keep that focus that they somehow found in Week 10 against the Los Angeles Rams after closed-door meetings and just a half a season of sleepwalking through the 2021 season. Let's start really quick with the injury report, and it's not too different than when we checked in last time. Jamichael Hasty and Elijah Mitchell at running back still haven't practiced this week, and we don't have the Friday practice report yet, but it's starting to look more and more like Elijah Mitchell probably won't play, and it's, in which case, Jamichael Hasty's not playing either, we're talking about Jeffrey Wilson and Trey Sermon. Like, you can't hold Trey Sermon back anymore, right? If he's the number two, he's got to filter in there. And coming off the injury that Jeffrey Wilson's coming off of, you're not going to give him 25 carries, right, Croc?
That's what you would think, but I don't know. Kyle Shanahan, he's shown us he will do the unthinkable and just be like, all right, Trey Sermon, I still don't want to run you. I don't care if you're the only healthy running back on the roster. Jeff Wilson, fresh off of, not playing since last year, going to go ahead and give you 30 carries.
Deebo Samuel limited in practice with a shin injury. How about this one, Croc? More carries in week 11 against the Jaguars. Trey Sermon or Deebo Samuel?
Deebo Samuel. And I'm confident with that. Woo! Take you over on whatever Deebo Samuel's carries are.
All right. So you're not worried about that shin? I feel like, limited Thursday means he's going to practice and play Sunday, right? I think that's what's going to happen. Josh Norman limited with the rib, and Jalen Moore, offensive tackle. Hopefully he's ready to go and can play right tackle and look good there in his starting debut on the right side. Last week, he's also limited in practice with a knee injury. I got a couple of statistics here, Croc, as it pertains to the 49ers, one of them with Deebo Samuel. We'll finish up today's episode, as we do every week, with the keys to victory in the final segment. Deebo Samuel, we all know about how good he is, yards after catch, the yak, and he's just been amazing. He's been an entire offense himself this year for the 49ers. Five catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown last week. According to Next Gen Stats, his YAC-OE, his YAC-O, which is yards after catch, OE is over expected. So based on where, the entire league, what they do yards after catch wise in certain situations, down a distance and field position, where they catch the ball, all of those things come together for an over expected what you would get for yards after catch for a normal receiver. He had plus 46 yards of YAC over expected. And he only had 97 yards. So most receivers would have had about half as much production on those same five catches as Deebo Samuel, is what they're saying here, with his plus 46 yards after catch over expected last week. And then he had 14 rushing yards over expected on his five carries for 36 yards and a touchdown. So essentially, he's gaining 60 yards more than the normal player would be on his touches. Like, that's what Deebo Samuel is giving you. And over the course of the last three seasons, and he's been banged up over the course of the last three seasons. Last year, he didn't have a full season at all to accumulate these yak over expected. Deebo Samuel, according to Next Gen Stats, leads the entire league with plus 472 yards after catch over expected over the last three seasons. That's 29 more yards than the next closest player at number two, who is A.J. Brown, who's at plus 443 yards after the catch, over expected. What do you think about the over expected stats, Crocky?
Oh man, I'm not a big like analytical person, and I feel like all these, I'm like, gosh, there's so many of these different numbers that people are like really throwing out there to like make an argument one way or another for a player. To me, it just says what I think, you know, I'm seeing with my eyes is Deebo Samuel is good after the catch.
Exactly. It just confirms what we're, our eyes already told us, right? And I think, Croc, you and I both look at the game similarly in sort of a scout's eye. And we the way we look at things is like, well, that's certainly not surprising. He's the best yak dude. And guess what? His yak over expected is the best, as we expected. So, yeah, just check that box.
I don't want to say my pushback, but my question would be like, okay, like, how do you guys come up with all these numbers? Like, how do you know what is expected and what's not? And I'm pretty sure they have their formula, but at the end of the day, it's just, he's either doing it or he's not. You know, I had put out a tweet about Mac Jones last night. I'm watching Mac Jones and I'm just like, well, I could see why his completion percentage is so high.
Right.
You know, everything is like between the line of scrimmage and 5 yards downfield for the most part. And I'd say like 90% of his attempts were in that range, like between 1 and 5 yards or behind the line of scrimmage on screens. And he's completing it to guys that are kind of open and stuff. Not take away, you know, he's been a good, quick decision maker and whatnot. But then people start, well, this is his. And they start throwing all these numbers, all these things at me, like his unexpected, unintended air yards of this missing.
EPA.
And that. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about, but I know one thing. I'm watching the game, and I see him throwing five-yard completions every pass. Like, you're not going to piss on me and tell me it's raining and all these other numbers. I'm looking at it.
The piss on me and tell me it's raining stat. That's one we got to come up with. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit long for it's funny, because I was looking at these, like, Yakko, YCOE, what even is that? Now, I know the OE by now means over expected, but it's like, okay, interesting. And here's another one, though, for Jimmy Garoppolo. Speaking of, like, and Mac Jones, Jimmy Garoppolo been playing a pretty similar brand of ball. I think I will say that Mac Jones has thrown some stuff outside the numbers to the sideline a little bit more. So that's, you know, a nice little bonus for Mac Jones there when people try to compare Jimmy Garoppolo and Mac Jones.
I have a take on their offenses. Okay. There is a difference. Like, here's the difference between the two offenses.
Okay.
And we can kind of tie this into Trevor Lawrence too, because I watched the Jacksonville Jaguars this last night and this morning. Mm-hmm. The offense of the New England Patriots, it feels like it's more designed for the quick hits. Like, it looks like there are the, like, we're going to really take what you give us. We're going to run 5 yard hook routes. You know, we're going to do the screens. We're going to do this underneath stuff. And we just want to get completions to set up short yardage situations and get ahead of the sticks. So it's really spread out, and it's, all right, we're going to spread it out. We're going to give you these clear and defined reads to get the ball to this guy right now. I don't care if it ends up being big yards after catch or anything like that. It's just get the ball in his hands, and, you know, that's what we're going to do. The 49ers, their quick passing game is designed to create big yardage. So it's a different. We got one group that's trying to, okay, we are going to throw the five-yard route, but it's really just to get 5 yards or 6 yards. The 49ers, we want to throw this slant, so we are getting the ball out of this guy's hands, but we're trying to get it at an angle to where we can get explosive plays. And the 49ers defense isn't really predicated on the what people would like to say checkdowns. Like, I don't think Mac Jones is checking the ball down. I think it's designed, and he's executing that efficiently. With the 49ers, it's slants, quick hitters, and then those deep, like, dig routes. I think the level of execution at the quarterback position with the 49ers offense, that you have to execute at a higher level. Like, it's just a little bit higher, more difficult, I would say, as opposed to even like the Jaguars, which I watched them. What Trevor Lawrence is asked to do, and I just watched this and I was blown away, the level of difficulty of him playing the quarterback position in Jacksonville, it's extremely difficult. And we're going to get into that when we start talking about this matchup. But I watched that and I was like, I can't compare these rookie quarterbacks in their situations, because it's all so much different in what they're being asked to do.
That's fantastic stuff. Okay, I'm going to drop this Jimmy G stat. We're definitely going to get more into Trevor Lawrence and that Jacksonville Jaguars offense in this matchup with the 49ers in Week 11. Jimmy Garoppolo, according to Next Gen Stats, averaged the second quickest time to throw of his career in Week 10, 2.30 seconds on Monday Night Football. He excelled on throws he released in less than 2.5 seconds, as he went 12 of 14 on those throws for 138 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had a plus 16.5 completion percentage over expected on quick passes. So 16.5% over what you would expect him to have on those quick throws under 2.5 seconds. And Garoppolo finished with just one play action drop back, a career low. One drop back under center, tied for a career low. Jimmy G has aligned in the shotgun on 89 of 93 dropbacks. And this is a big one, and it goes along with what we talked about with the eyeball test and, you know, the play action stuff after the game this week. And he's a shotgun quarterback now. That's what the 49ers are doing, and it's working. 89 of 93 dropbacks for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's been aligned in the shotgun since week 8, which is 96% compared to a 66% rate over the rest of his career with San Francisco. And so it's I mean, 89 of 93, so there's very few, and that's probably those four dropbacks were, you know, oddball down a distance situations too, right? So basically, they're a shotgun offense now. And the other thing that it helped him do last week, especially, that I think Kyle Shanahan is liking in this benefit of having Jimmy G in the shotgun, you can go three wide and you can get a lighter box and you can still run the football in that. And he kept doing that. They kept doing that last week on Monday Night Football against the Rams. You're getting 5 and 6 in the box and you got three wide and they're going in there nickel and you're going to run, you can still run the football on that. So I think there's a couple of benefits to what we're seeing now with Jimmy Garoppolo in shotgun. One more note here, actually, from Next Gen Stats on Jamal Agnew, the Jacksonville Jaguars' speedy running back or corner-turned-receiver-turned running back now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Might see a lot of Jamal Agnew in the backfield. Carlos Hyde revenge game, potentially, as well. C.J. Beathard probably going pretty well for the 49ers, unless the Jaguars are blowing out the 49ers if C.J. Beathard jumps in the football game and it becomes a C.J. Beathard revenge game. Key to victories coming up, and some shade thrown by a former Trent Baalke draft pick, Jimmy Ward, at Jaguars GM Trent Baalke next. All right, 49ers fans, I want to let you know about an app that is incredible that everyone who buys gas needs to know about, Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. It's super easy. You download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code Touchdown, by the way, you get an extra bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. So that's 50 cents cash back per gallon on your first fill up. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. It's awesome. You download the app and you open it up and it tells you which gas stations or partners. You go there, you fill up, you get cash back. It goes right into your account. You can withdraw that cash back anytime you want to your bank account, to PayPal, get an e-gift card, whatever you want. It's super easy, free cash for you whenever you get gas. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as a couple $100 a month, every single month, because they're using the Get Upside app and getting cash back every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code Touchdown. Croc, we got to come up with an overexpected statistic for podcasters in our analysis here, because I think we're way overexpected, right?
Right. Five the numbers are saying we're getting 4,000 listens over expected.
Absolutely, due to our fantastic
per episode
analysis. I like that a lot. Yeah, we got to come up with that stat. Let's see, where do we go here? Let's go to Jamal Agnew and finish up these next gen stats I came across looking at this game. Jamal Agnew tied the 8th fastest speed by a ball carrier this year and fastest by a Jaguars ball carrier since week 15 of 2018. That's counting guys like DJ Chark. You know, they've got some speed on that Jacksonville Jaguars offense. He reached 21.62 miles per hour on his 66-yard rushing touchdown. It's not Raheem Mostert's speed, but it's pretty darn fast. He had, you know, whatever, plus 52 rushing yards over expected on the run. 10th most on a carry this season. Interestingly, the play marked Agnew's first snap at running back. So the overexpected thing is not as good in a small sample because it's one play. Most running backs on whatever his rush was against whatever defense down a distance and all that, you know, maybe, you know, you average 5 yards per carry.
It's like, I watched that play.
On a small sample, it's like one block here, one missed tackle here, and, you know, it skews everything. So the overexpected stuff works better, obviously, in a large sample that it does looking at one play. So you can throw that
but
out.
But that's why I'm so confused with what it means to be overexpected, because all he did was They had him in a shotgun. He was lined up to the right side of the offense, and Trevor Lawrence just handed the ball to him. He came off the left side. There was a hole, and he hit it, and, I mean, just outran the defense, outran the safety that maybe potentially had an angle, but, I mean, he just outran everybody. I was like, oh, man, like, this is the guy that is kind of the X factor, right? Because first carry of the game went to Carlos Hyde, and then the next drive you see Robinson in there. And then, wait a minute, there's this Agnew guy who they did some jet sweep stuff. He's the kind of guy that they use to kind of stretch teams horizontally. But, I mean, I got to figure out what exactly. But, you know, I know the analytical nerds will get on me if I have pushback on social media about it. But I'm just like, man, like, he's fast.
Again, passes the eye test. He's fast. He's a kick returner that you're trying to put on offense and find ways to get him in a return scenario, basically, right?
Right.
Might see a little Jamal Agnew Sunday. Here's a quote from Urban Meyer talking about when he was recruiting Nick Bosa coming out of Florida. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. St. Thomas Aquinas High School is where both of the Bosas came out of high school. He said, I stood there watching him his sophomore year of high school and said, this one's over, done. He was that good his sophomore year of high school. So there's some connection there to Nick Bosa and this Jacksonville Jaguars coaching staff. Here's the quote, though, that I love this week leading up to this game. And I think 49ers fans at this point know the stories about quote-unquote Coach Trent that came out from the 49ers, and I think that was very unwelcomed coaching from Trent Baalke by the coaching staff and by the players who he was trying to coach. And the famous quote from the introductory press conference for – was that the Tom Sula press conference when he was like – I don't remember if it was Matt Barrows or Matt Maiocco that asked the question – but Baalke was like, Matt, he interrupted him. He's like, Matt, I think what he said there is that we're going to run the football. Do you remember that?
We're going to run the football. I think what they meant there is going to run the football.
But we should have a Trent Baalke contest so you can talk the best, like do the best Trent Baalke voice from the fans out there. Okay. But this is what Jimmy Ward had to say about Trent Baalke. Who drafted him in 2015? All the way back in 2014, huh?
14,
dang, Jimmy Ward's been around a little while. He said, so I got to give him credit, and I got to love him up, but I still think about the day that I want to say it was the Giants game, and we're playing cover three, and he came up to me, and he was like, Jimmy, you don't know how to play cover three? And I'm like, man, I'm the buzz player. I'm doing the right thing. You need to look at your other guys who's over in the hook. Need to push the hook on the slant, but that's something I never forget, Ward said. I couldn't say that back then, but I could say it now because the players are not here. Trent's not here. Look, come on, man. But shout out, Trent. I wanted to get that off my chest. Been waiting for 8 years to get that off my chest, man. And, you know, he said he was happy and loves Trent Baalke because he's the guy that drafted him and brought him in as a first-rounder for the 49ers there. But, yeah, Coach Trent, what is Coach Trent even talking there? What is Jimmy Ward talking about here? And I'm trying to think back then because depending on the year, I don't know what position Jimmy Ward's even playing here because, you know, it's pretty clear what he'd be doing if he was the corner. But he's talking about being the buzz player, so he must have been playing nickel or safety at this point, right?
Yeah, I think because remember, his rookie year, he was playing in a nickel most of the time. Mm-hmm. So he was down there, and he probably talking about maybe a linebacker that's supposed to carry a slant or something like that. So he's in the slot. He probably dropped into a space. They did a lot of spot dropping. So he's dropping into like a hook area or whatever, or like the slot area. And then the guy ran a slant. Maybe Trent Baalke thinks that he's supposed to squeeze a slant. That's what I'm thinking. But that's the thing with fans, right? The fans are always like, this guy is supposed to do this on this play. That's why if you guys notice my analysis on social media, my analysis on Twitter, I typically do not talk about what a guy's responsibility is because I don't know. And the crazy thing is like with these coaches, they might tell a guy to do something different depending on what they've seen on film. So maybe this is how you typically run it, but against this look and this guy, hey, I want you to do X, Y, Z. And it could be different than what you were taught. And even then, a lot of times with me, I mean, it might even be just a different coverage than what I know. So I typically, like, Trent Baalke is like, stay out of this. Eric Crocker, stay out of this. I don't know what he's told and whose responsibility is what. So I don't speak on assignments typically. Sometimes I'll see something that's just much clearer for me to where I'm like, okay, this guy. But a lot of times you guys will hear me say, like, well, I think he's supposed to do, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm not in their meeting room. I'll make sure I add that, because players have jumped in my DMs and they'll be like, oh, well, this what happened, yada, yada, yada. This was, you know, or this was supposed to go like this, you know. Like, the players will jump in your DMs and tell you, but typically I just stay away from that. I don't want to guess. Right there, Trent Baalke. I mean, this has been on Ward's mind for 8 years. Baalke was wrong.
Yeah, that's so funny too. And Ward did go on to say that John Lynch, as a GM, also gives him some pointers sometimes, but he played NFL defensive back, right? And he said, John was a player, though. You know, he can't help it. That's different. John was a player. He can't help it. He has a gold jacket. Trent never played. John played. He has a gold jacket. You can't keep John off the field. John probably still wants to play, and he doesn't say too much. So,
but didn't they call Trent Baalke coach?
Yeah, they called him Coach Baalke as a joke, like as a put down, because he was too involved. And it's like, Trent, shut up and go, you know, do your stuff in the front office. That's funny.
That's got to be hella annoying.
Oh, yeah. And you get enough coaching. You get enough from so many places. And, like, if Baalke has a problem with the way a guy's doing something, that's just the wrong way to go about it. You're the GM. Go talk to the position coaches and be like, hey, first of all, get clarification. Be like, hey, are you coaching him up on this? How's this coached up? You know, learn from it, you know. But it's weird to have a GM skip the coaching staff completely, talk to a player. That just seems like a bad environment. That's not right.
No. Look, think about when Pettine asked Kyle Shanahan, hey, I think we should run the ball here. And, like, Shanahan's like, bro, don't tell me what to do. Like, you don't know. Like, stay over there on the offensive side. Do what you do. I'm going to do what I do. All right? I mean, stay on the defensive side of the ball. Like, I'm going to do what I do on this offensive side of the ball.
That's the head coach, too. But, you know, to be honest with you, I think in some ways, Kyle needs that.
Well, yeah, Kyle. But, I mean, I'm just saying, in the sense of, like, this is not what you do. This is what I do. But, yeah, Kyle, like, you know, obviously it's a little different because Pettine was the head coach at the time, but –
I love that one so much. I love that clip so much because Kyle Shanahan clearly had a pass play dialed up that he was ready to call. And Pettine didn't even make a specific play call either. He's like,
I think we should run it here.
Maybe we should run it here. And Kyle looks at him like, God, dude, I was about to call this other pass play. I was about to call a 60-yard bomb here. Okay.
All right. Yeah. You know what? You're right. Call your best play. Like, all right. Like, I was going to anyways.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. I love that. All right. Good stuff. It's never easy when it comes to NFL football. Sometimes you think you have a good answer for it, and maybe a team runs a scheme a certain way. Maybe teams run certain defenses different ways. Maybe there's a wrinkle that they're doing here. So you never know exactly, as far as assignments go, what's going on. And it's funny because whenever there's like a wide open player on offense, it's not because one player is so bad at covering that he's 20 yards behind a play. It's because somebody didn't pass something off right, or, you know, it was some miscommunication. And we're seeing more of that this day and age, I feel like, just because teams are trying so hard on defense to come up with stuff to trick the offense, and sometimes they end up tricking themselves.
The big play, Deebo Samuel against the Seahawks, right? And everybody's like, Jamal Adams, he blew the coverage. And they asked me, and I'm like, look, I teach my defenders down there, my flat defenders, to carry the wheel, but I don't know what this guy's being told. So I don't know. I teach my guys to do that, so, because that's kind of the beater in it. But I don't know what it happened in the 49ers game. There was a post, a wheel, and a drag to one side, and I think it was Cooper Kupp ended up being wide open on the wheel. This was just the last game. And I would have told Williams to go with that wheel. I heard Louis Riddick on TV saying that Williams is supposed to go with the wheel, but I've heard from other people that it was supposed to be Norman that falls off of the post, pass the post off to the safety, and he's supposed to be on that wheel. And I've seen the 49ers cover that in previous years with Keller Witherspoon a couple years ago. So, you know, you just never know.
You never know. All right, good stuff. Let's talk 49ers, Jaguars, keys to victory, and what this Jags offense looks like with rookie quarterback Trevor Lawrence next. Tons of new flavors filtering in at Built.com all this month. Every few days, new flavors coming out. Some limited time flavors of Built Bars. So check the website often and don't miss out on Built Bars. If you haven't tried them by now, you are really missing out. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Most protein bars, chalky, waxy, just plain hard to choke down sometimes. A Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Not a brown colored, kind of looks, kind of tastes like chocolate. This is 100% real, delicious chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. Built Bars are low in carb, low calorie, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of being just purely delicious. With so many flavors, the standard coconut and mint brownie, raspberry, cherry barcia that everyone knows and loves, and even a mystery flavor this month as well at Built.com. So go over to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order. Find one of those new flavors and use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. I'm going to put a little money down on your San Francisco 49ers, currently favored by 6 points on the road. Can they win by that touchdown? Don't even need the extra point. Extra point would help, though, get you in on the money and not just push that bet at betonline.ag. And a new web interface for the start of the basketball season. Yeah, there's not only football, college football, NFL, NBA basketball, college basketball, Major League Baseball futures. You've got NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season and beyond at betonline.ag. New updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. Promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, where the game starts. Croc, we were getting into that Jaguars offense a little bit and talking about the rookie quarterbacks and the difference in, you know, 49ers scheme and Jaguars scheme, and they're not making it easy on their guy, right? So what'd you see when you were watching Trevor Lawrence in that Jacksonville Jaguars offense?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's by design, but it's just difficult for him. And again, I'm fresh off of watching Mac Jones and the Patriots and how that offense runs. And I'm like, man, you got guys wide open, you know, quick, getting the ball out the quarterback's hands. He has a good offensive line. Like, even when he's kind of looking downfield, oh, it's not there. You know what? Let me look right. Oh, that's not there. Let me just throw it to the running back, right? And Mac Jones throws it to the running back more than any other quarterback in the NFL right now. So you see, like, okay, high-level efficiency. He's so comfortable, right, with Mac Jones. And when he does have to make a throw, it's like, you know what? I'm so confident right now because I've been doing all this other stuff. I can make this throw easy. Boom. And he puts balls in good spaces. His time clock is slowed down. It's the opposite for Trevor Lawrence. Everything is just hyper speed. It's like everything with him is like he has ADHD or something. It's from the moment he drops back. I mean, the pass rush is there. He has to get the ball out of his hands right now. Everything he throws is tight windows. It's contested. Like, it seems like there's no, like, easy hitters for him, not consistently, right? When I say this, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen at times. I'm saying on a consistent basis, this is what I'm seeing, right? I mean, throws the ball Agnew. You talked about him as a running back, kind of this, you know, I said he's kind of the X factor of this offense. He threw this slot fade to him. Beautiful ball down the left sideline. Even then, when he dropped back, I mean, you got pressure coming off the left side, and he's like, dang, I got to get rid of this. And he throws it into a beautiful area just right over the outside shoulder of the defensive back into Agnew's hands, and the DB punches it out. It was just like, man, like, everything is just so difficult. I'm like, man, the level of difficulty in executing in the offense that he's in with whatever's going on, how they're calling plays, and with the offensive line and the poor protection, it's different than some of these other guys. So now, and again, this is my first time just really sitting down and watching the Jaguar game, and, you know, we've talked about the quarterbacks and things like that. I can't compare these guys anymore because that's a difficult situation. It's not just, oh, yeah, it's just easy. Throw this 5-yard pass or check down to this running back. It's everything's high-level difficulty, and it's all on him. And a lot of times guys are getting beat. He's running for his life, trying to throw the ball down the field. When he does make throws, a lot of times they have to be great, perfect throws. And his players who aren't that great on offense have to make plays for him. A lot of times they don't. It's tough. So when I'm looking at the 49ers, the one thing you got to do defensively, you got to get after him. I'd send blitzes. I'd disguise things, zero blitzes, and make him consistently have to beat the blitz. That's what I would do. Now, the 49ers, they might just sit back and say, hey, front four, I saw them do this with Justin Fields. Hey, front four, just get pressure. We'll drop. We'll sit back and just play coverage from there. I wouldn't do. I want to keep attacking him, make him have to make throws. Because right now, his clock, I'm sure, I'm watching him. He's getting beat up. His clock is sped up, that's for sure.
49ers got to be able to beat that Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line, right? Keep things sped up for Trevor Lawrence. I'd probably put that out there as my number one key to this game, because I think the 49ers and maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars defense is a little bit underrated, because you look at this team like, they're bad. I think their defense,
some things from them.
Their defense is getting a little bit better, but as far as the other side of the ball, it's like win up front and we're going to be good. It's a rookie quarterback back there. Make things difficult on him. Keep that processing fast and sped up in his head, yep, and make things easy for you and win the line of scrimmage, so James Robinson or Carlos Hyde or Jamal Agnew, whoever it is running the football, isn't gouging you and making big plays, and that should keep the score low enough for you to do what you need to do on offense on the other side of the ball, and we will flip it. But I mean, Andrew Norwell's their best player, you know, big money free agent that they have there, but like they're beatable inside, they're beatable on the edge. Cam Robinson's just sort of like a placeholder. He's okay. You got Walker Little there, who is a backup offensive lineman who come off a torn ACL at Stanford, a Trent Baalke special, second rounder coming off a torn ACL. Surprise, surprise. Ben Bartsch. They had a guy, AJ Cann, who was was getting beat by a drum before he went on IR there on their offensive line. So it's a beatable offensive line. You got to win up front, and you're definitely not scared of Laquan Treadwell beating you, right? What they have at wide receiver there is not good. And even Laviska Shenault, you would worry about run after catch there. And, you know, maybe Marvin Jones hitting you deep. That'd probably be the guy I'm worried about, is Marvin Jones, because he's been a really good deep receiver in the NFL. Oh, yeah, here's the revenge game nobody's talking about. Tavon Austin. He didn't really make much of an appearance for the 49ers, right, but he's around too.
I didn't really see him in the last game like that. You know, it is interesting with watching Trevor Lawrence. You see the skill set, you see the ability, you see why everybody loves him. He can make throws. Like, he can. It's always so difficult for him that you just can't consistently win like that. You have to try to make him play hero ball, and no quarterback is going to feel comfortable having to drop back and play hero ball for an entire game. And a lot of times for Jacksonville, that's what he's had to do, because they fall behind, and then obviously the offensive line isn't that good, and they can't continue to lean on the run game. So it makes it tough.
I have one more quick key to victory, actually, and I think someone like Nick Bosa will probably come through this much better than maybe some of the other players, although, you know, there's not like these are a bunch of California kids on the 49ers roster. They know what the weather's like in other parts of the country. But looking at the weather reports, it's getting chilly in California. You know, it's cool and cold and crisp weather over here. That humidity, man, I think it's going to be 78 degrees and 90% humidity or something like that for this game. Like, it's a long-distance trip. Like, just the trip, just the environment. East Coast trip, 90% humidity, 78 degrees. Even if you've been used to it before, you're probably acclimated to California weather if you're a 49ers football player right now. So if the one thing that Jacksonville has going for him is just environment, playing at home, a team that's traveling 3,000 miles to play you in 90% humidity. So I think that's probably the biggest hurdle the 49ers are going to face in this game.
That can be tough. And I've been in that situation playing with the San Jose Sabercats. We flew to the East Coast and we had to play against Tampa and Jacksonville in back-to-back games. So we stayed in Florida for the week and we practiced at this field out there. And it was so humid. I mean, you know, that was something that we definitely weren't used to. So, yeah, that definitely can get these guys if they're not preparing and hydrating the right way, you know, especially for some of these defensive linemen. And that's what the 49ers talk about, keys to victory for the 49ers on defense. They got to get some pass rush going. And you got to be able to do it against the offensive line that you're just supposed to beat and be better than. The 49ers pass rush, even against the Rams, giving guys too much time. They're being too comfortable. And everybody talks about the secondary and how poor the secondary is playing. Let's talk about that pass rush, because I get it. You know, Nick Bosa, his sack numbers are up. But aside from that, guys are just having too long. They're way too comfortable throwing the ball. So 49ers have to improve on the pass rush. I think this is a good game to try to get back on track. And that should be one of the keys to victory for the 49ers defense against the Jacksonville offense.
Absolutely. I love that one. What did you see from the Jacksonville defense? I know at least in the last few weeks, we've seen some really high level play from Josh Allen, particularly in that 9-6 win for the Jaguars over the Bills, and Josh Allen beating the other Josh Allen. Maybe a little revenge game for Josh Allen, who might say, you know what, maybe I should have been the number two pick in the NFL draft in 2019 and not Nick Bosa. What are you seeing from that team on the defensive side of the ball, Crocky?
So Josh Allen, he's really active, and he was really active against the Colts. But the one thing that jumped out immediately, and I know that I recognized it right away, first quarter, you could see it. That team, you can run on them. And that's what you really want to do. You want to run down their throat, and you can pound away. The run lanes open. Jonathan Taylor, who is good, but I think, you know, especially if Elijah Mitchell, if he is able to go, he's a guy that can really take advantage of those run lanes and break off some big runs. All right. And you want to stick with that. And I think 49ers, whatever they did against the Rams, do that. And I think you'll even have more success against the Jaguars. But where you can get in trouble with the Jaguars is if you can't run. I don't think that they were necessarily getting a lot of sacks against the Colts, but they were making life difficult for Carson Wentz. So you don't want to get in a situation where you have to be a drop back passer against them. I think that's where they can get you. They collapse the pocket. You got Josh Allen. He's extremely active with getting after quarterbacks and, you know, making guys have to work really sideways. I saw Carson Wentz having to kind of scramble a lot on the move, throw the ball away. They'll make it difficult for a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. So you don't want Jimmy to have to be a drop back passer in this game. You want to get the run game going. And I think that might have been what happened with Buffalo in their offense. Buffalo hasn't had a run game. So you're playing right into Jacksonville's hands if you're a team that has to throw it more than you want to run. And that's when they'll get after you from a defensive standpoint. So they'll give up the run yards. They'll get gashed. You can't turn it into a game where you have to throw the ball to win.
I remember when we were talking about our Javon Kinlaw for C.J. Henderson trades in the offseason when all the C.J. Henderson stuff happened, and we were looking at their defensive line, their interior, like, man, they need a defensive tackle. So apparently, yeah, they still do need a defensive tackle there. We weren't wrong about that preseason assessment of the interior of the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Secondary, real quick, that's your specialty, Croc. Looking at the secondary, did you see a guy where, like, okay, this is the one that should have his target on the back? I know they spent offseason dollars on Shaquille Griffin. They got the rookie Tyson Campbell in there. Trey Herndon's playing some corner. Safeties are, who is it, Rayshon Jenkins, and is it the rookie Andre Sisco that's in there, or is it Rudy Ford? Like, I don't even know who Rudy Ford is, to be honest with you. Who's Rudy Ford, Croc?
I don't know. Do they have Sendejo?
Sendejo, I don't think so.
Okay,
I'm not seeing. Like, I heard his name. Hold on, maybe let me check out the. I don't see Sendejo on the depth chart, unless maybe he's hurt.
Okay, maybe, I don't know. I feel like I heard his name. No, but looking at the defense, you know what? Like, when the 49ers are playing against opposing secondaries, I don't really pay too much, you know, to who's in the secondary, because we talked about it, right? Kyle Shanahan, he has his scheme. He doesn't look to pick on a guy. He doesn't look to target a guy. He wants to play his scheme, and that's going to – the scheme is what's going to get guys open regardless of who's on the other side. So, yeah, not something that I'd really pay too much attention to. Maybe the linebackers, where can you attack those guys? And they do have a couple good linebackers. You got Miles Jack there as well. You know, can you – put him in a bind within what his rules are defensively. If you could do that, you know, maybe you'll have some success. But again, this game ends and starts with the run game. I know 49ers fans are like, hey, that's the 49ers identity now. They got to stick with that. It's not always going to be perfect for the 49ers to be able to run the ball 44 times. But this is a game where I think you want to force the run, and you should actually have a good amount of success. That's got to be a key. Run the ball. Don't have to throw it. You don't want to be in that situation. But yeah, as far as the secondary goes, I think you can attack that second level.
Yeah, and I think Ke'Lavon Chaisson, who was a first rounder in 2020, I don't really like him as a full-time off-ball linebacker. He's more of a hybrid edge guy. Reminds me a little bit of who was the guy that the Cardinals drafted, and they tried to do the same thing with him because he was an undersized edge player, and now he is why am I blanking on his name? I just talked about him recently a lot. Who's the first round pick in 2017 for the Cardinals, linebacker, and then he just went somewhere else. Now he's
Hassan Reddick.
That's what I'm thinking of. That was sort of my comp for Chaisson, was Hassan Reddick.
Okay.
He's an undersized edge guy, but now you got him playing off ball linebacker. I think that's where you're targeting in the pass game, and I think that's why when Tony Wiggins talked about them not being great against tight ends, I think it's more Damian Wilson and Chaisson than Miles Jack. But anyway, yeah, I think we nailed it. The biggest keys were those first few we talked about, right? On defense, get after Trevor Lawrence. Make life hard for a rookie quarterback. And on the offensive side of the ball, run the football. And then, you know, hopefully you acclimate to the weather and the travel. Those are the three things.
Don't help them. Don't turn the ball over and help a team that really they need the help. And we talked about that in previous weeks with the 49ers. Don't beat yourself. Last week, that was the one thing that they had really going. Well, they had multiple things going for them, but that was a key. They didn't beat themselves. They didn't turn the ball over. They weren't just shooting themselves repeatedly with bad penalties. You can't beat yourself, especially against a team like this, that you're more talented than, you're better coached than, you're more experienced than. You have to go out and really be able to execute and don't hurt yourself. Even I'd rather get a three and out than turn the ball over. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It has to be that level of play for the 49ers and that thought process. Don't do anything that's going to put yourself in a situation to where you start to give a team false confidence. And my coaches used to say that. Don't give a bad team false confidence, basically making them feel like they can hang around in this game.
I'm glad you brought up turnovers. And some people might say a punt is a turnover anyway. But we had to keep our streak alive. This is the 10th straight game. We've talked about turnovers as being a key to victory, so we got to keep that alive too, because it's always a key, right? Yeah, and don't hurt yourself. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. And winning that turnover battle is key. We saw how big that was for the 49ers to get a turnover early in the Monday Night Football game. All right, Croc, we're out of time here. Good stuff. Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen every day. Croc and I back Monday to break everything down from this matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars right here, Locked On 49ers.